This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, that airs on WANM FM 90.5 from 12:30 to 2 p.m. I am your host, Jeffrey Hood Jr., repping the DMV in Atlanta area. In this episode, we'll be discussing the four-game losing streak for the Milwaukee Bucks, Stephon Diggs going to Houston Texans, as well as recapping the men's and women's March Madness championship games. But tell me with these topics, I have some amazing guys in the studio with me.
Yes, sir. Slim Trim in the cut, Michael Trim Jr. How's everybody doing today?
We all good, man. You know, it's your favorite country. Boys, it's hot feed. You know, we just chilling today. Another beautiful day here in Tallahassee. It's a little windy, but we out here living.
Oh man, what's going on, y'all? It's Jay Scott, the freshman on campus, repping the 813, Tampa Bay, Florida. Woo.
Boy, that's where he was from.
Yeah, man. No. It's been a long week, man.
No,
we're just getting started.
No, seriously. I felt that.
Now, somebody asked me, how's your mental health? I'm like, bro, I'm not even going to
lie. I almost broke down in tears.
I did, though.
Maybe sometimes, bro.
I'm like, I'm ready for the school year to be over at this point. Like, it's like now it's just dragging at this point.
Facts. But, fellas, you know, the first topic we always got to start off with is FAMU. Now, the orange and green game is this Saturday, fellas. What do you expect to see from this spring game?
I'll start it off. I'm not going to lie. I just want to see, you know, consistent quarterback play. I don't know how many quarterbacks, you know, teams usually play in the spring game, but like four?
Depends, three.
They'll probably go through the entire depth chart.
I just want to see, you know, what, you know, the transfer QB is looking like. Obviously, you know, see if Sunshine got any improvement on his game. Who else we have? Jacoby, right? Yeah. See what, you know, he's looking like. Because I don't know if they named a starter yet. I don't think they did.
No, but this is what Cozy the Third said. He says between Sunshine and Daniel Richardson.
That's the FAU transfer, right?
Yeah. It's just between them two.
Okay, wow.
I mean, even if you've seen, like, the promotions and stuff they put on FAMU Athletics, it's mostly been the dude from FAU. You too, so
okay, yeah, but I mean, if it's between Sunshine and Richardson, Sunshine has to have some type of improvement because we seen him last year and it was, you know, very pedestrian, you know, country could have went out and did that, but
okay.
Okay. But yeah, I just want to see consistent quarterback play.
What about you, Country?
I just gotta agree with that. It's more so for the quarterback, because you know anybody that wins the SWAC always has the best quarterback play at the end of the day.
That's true.
And so far I don't know how short the transfer QB from FAU was. I thought he was a little bit taller than that, but he is.
No, he's short.
He is bigger.
He's stockier.
Like, he's stockier, but I didn't know he was that short. But that's most of what I'm focused on, because I feel as though the defense is still solid. We lost a lot of people.
There's no land. I was about to say, nobody's going to say the defense
yet. I was going to get to that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel as though, like, Cozy got something in the works for the defense, especially from the transfer portal, because we got a lot of people from the transfer. We lost two of the players after Coach Willie Simmons left.
Yeah.
But a lot of them did come back. It was just the two Florida State guys. You know where they went to after the fact?
After they decommitted from FAMU?
Okay. But other than that, so right now, I'm just curious to see what the quarterback play is going to look like and also what the defense is going to look like. But at the same time, how can you really gauge what the defense looks like when you have bad quarterback play? I'm not saying we will.
Yeah.
But it's like, if we had bad quarterback play, who would you say is actually winning?
More than like, I feel like at a surface level, of course you can say, like, you know, quarterback play and everybody's gonna look at the offense and see how they produce, especially with, you know, Musa graduating. And but on defense, I want to see specifically the trench play, like from the defensive
line. That's what I was gonna say, yeah.
Because yeah, you can get like a decent gauge of the defense depending on how the quarterback plays in the spring game. But at the defensive line, you can see the depth, the aggressiveness. All right, how good is their explosiveness? How good can they read the holes? How well can they plug these holes? I really want to see the consistency and depth within the defensive line. On top of that, defensive backs.
Yeah, them too.
Because now Coach Cozy is taking a step away from his position group. I want to see how...
Now, he still has his hand in it.
I mean, he still has his hand in it.
But not as deep as he had before.
He's overseeing the entire thing now. Mm. So I want to see consistency there, because that has bailed us out a lot last season, especially in the Southern game and games like Alabama State, even in the Howard game.
Prairie View. Both times.
I think defense is honestly going to be a huge thing people are going to be looking for.
I also want to see what these Florida State transfers look like. I've been to a practice or two. I wasn't really like, oh my gosh, wow. I wasn't wowed by them. So hopefully they can show me something differently. And also quarterback play. I mean, quarterback is the most important position on the field. And we have a huge question mark. I don't know who's going to take that position. I don't know who makes us better overall and just elevates FAMU as a program, but hopefully one of them steps in there and realize that they have some big shoes to fit, even though we get on Jeremy Musa a lot of times. Mm-hmm. They have some big shoes to fit, though.
Do you think that next season they'll kind of move away from, like, Well, just because we have that giant question mark at quarterback, that there'll be a more emphasis on the run game.
Are you going to say they're going to handicap the quarterbacks?
Handicap them, but there were certain points at the season where we needed Musa to pass the ball. If we have that giant question mark, especially going into the season, and we're not comfortable with airing it out against these better defensive back groups, do you see us putting more emphasis on the run game, especially with the new transfer from Florida State?
I feel like we can, but I feel like that'd be a little bit too obvious, and that would handicap the offense overall. Just
makes it one-dimensional.
Yeah, if we're not getting something going, they're going to hand the ball off.
Right.
We can't do that. What do you think, Trim?
Country brought up a good point. Like, how do we differentiate, you know, bad quarterback play versus good defense play?
Yeah, because the quarterback could be missing reads. And then I always say, if you got two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks.
That's real. But even the defensive line, it's not live, though. So you can see them get pressure in the backfield, but they still let the quarterback throw. So you could still, it would be more of an emphasis on seeing how the defensive backs react.
And that's what I'm saying. You're not really getting a gauge of the game when you're not really, you're seeing a rush, but you're not seeing a rush.
No, I get it. I'm just saying you can see the progression within the defensive linemen. Just see how, you know, they get to the backfield.
That's true, too. I also want to see what the wide receivers can do.
That was going to be my next point.
Yeah, some are very inexperienced, so I just want to see how they gel with the new quarterbacks as well.
But one thing about the state of Florida is that you're never going to have a lack of skill players.
Never.
Yeah, but experience matters, and that's what we lack in the wide receiver core right now. We very lack that.
Ja'Cory Jordan, he switched his position to wide receiver.
Exactly.
So he's not a quarterback. Marcus Riley, not a quarterback no more.
Is Marcus Riley still there? No.
I mean, their cornerback unit, they got a little bit of freshman. They still got Zorian, and they got DeAndre Powell coming back next year. Zorian was a freshman that actually got some playing time last year, number six. And then you got DeAndre Powell, who's a sophomore coming back as well. So those two should have something. Well,
had they been in certain moments in high-pressure games?
I know Zorian was in a high-pressure game against Southern.
Yeah,
I did see that.
Well, they all got to start somewhere, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
We got two games to get it figured out. We got South Carolina State and we got Norfolk State.
Yeah, it's kind of like what separates the men from the boys in the wide receiver room, because if we can't get nothing shaking, we're gonna be handicapped and obvious to just know what we're gonna do at all times.
So do y'all think those two non-conference, obviously outside against Miami and Troy, but the Norfolk and South Carolina game, do you think those games like matter?
Yes,
those games will matter, and we can from them two games we're gonna figure out who we are as a team in them two games.
Not only that, you can kind of get a gauge if we're being serious about competing in December, possibly going back to the Celebration Bowl. Those are two teams that have made progressions within the MEAC to make a competitive conference, so we'll see, you know, how we gauge against MEAC. Has honestly dominated SWAC for the last three, 4 years until the Celebration Bowl when they beat Howard. But, you know, you'll see, I think, a test of how this team will respond to adversity and a harder game coming later into the schedule.
So let me ask you guys this real quick. If we go, 1-3, 2-4, what are you guys going to have to say about the team and as far as Coach Cozy coaching?
I'll say don't panic.
2-4?
If we go 2-4,
Did you see the schedule for the first six games?
I'm just saying.
Right, it's a very favorable schedule.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just putting it out there.
If we go 2-6 in the first, I said 2-6, 2-4 in the first six games, I would say that this is not going to be a good season.
Okay. You Jalen?
Just because there are games on there that we should win on paper doesn't mean that it's going to translate onto the field. I think we'll get a better gauge of it come that first game against Norfolk, because Norfolk isn't a great team by all standards, but they're going to make you work for it. So I think 2-4, it's not unrealistic, but I like our odds to be higher.
You might.
So I'm guessing the two wins come against Alabama A&M and Alabama State.
I'm just saying, just overall, I'm not picking out a certain team we're going to beat. I'm just saying, just giving you a...
I mean it depends, because if you say that, if we beat Troy and Miami and we lose against the four other teams?
I'm sorry, you said we lose to Troy
and Miami? No, if we beat Troy and Miami and we lose to the other four teams.
Let's be for real. Let's not talk...
Like what games are we winning? It matters what games are we winning.
The first two games I have us winning... against Norfolk game, that's in Georgia State
Atlanta.
Yeah, I know it's in Atlanta, but is it at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
No, it's Georgia State Stadium.
Old Braves Stadium.
Okay. So you have that, and then you also have SC State, not a good football team.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to them, but they just not a good football team.
South Carolina State?
South Carolina State.
South Carolina State finished third in the MEAC, just behind Howard and North Carolina Central. Central went to the FCS playoffs, and Howard went to the Celebration Bowl. They beat Howard, and Howard beat North Carolina Central. I mean, it's a three-way tie normally between those three teams and MEAC. They're not a pushover team at all.
I said what I said. So you want to name the teams in the MEAC since they finished third in the MEAC? Okay, like I said. Anyways, Miami, we know that's a money game, so we're not even gonna talk about that.
Yeah.
Troy, I feel as though it's a loss, but if we win that game, because Troy's not as strong as they used to be, if we win that game, that's a big one. And then we go into conference play against Alabama A&M and Alabama State. And Alabama State, to me, is actually the best team in the SWAC right now.
And we're going to Alabama State, correct?
And we're going to Alabama State.
It's not good.
It's not a good look. So we could possibly start 3-3.
That's true.
But if we lose our SWAC opener to Alabama A&M, which is not a good team, I would see that as a huge problem.
Yeah. So I guess 2-4 would raise big alarm flags.
Raise big alarms. Not even 2-4, 1-5.
Okay, I wasn't saying
No, because if my co-host to my right telling me how good South Carolina
State
is. I never said
that. I'm just saying they're not a pushover team. I think that'll be another good test to see how good we'll be this season.
Country?
We at home. y'all know how we're gonna lose. This is not the same team.
The streak is gonna end this year.
This is not the same team.
I don't think so.
This is not the same team, especially defensively. This is not the same team. Far from it.
Personally, I don't think we'll lose at home. Well, Southern maybe, but I don't think we'll lose at home.
Southern lost a lot.
They did, but it's always a competitive game.
They make it competitive.
Like, yeah.
I was about to say
we forget how to play football to last.
It's only
quarter,
exactly. It's only one game that I can see is losing at home,
which is
Southern.
Yeah.
I don't see no other game.
That's what I'm saying. I think it can.
Wait. Is that homecoming?
No.
So the homecoming is the next game.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're definitely not losing Texas Southern at homecoming.
Yeah. No.
That's forbidden at FAMU.
I'm sorry, but Texas Southern was right there with us last year.
No, we had like some really stupid turnovers.
It was right there with us.
Closer than it should have been.
That was
one of the games that I hated Musa.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all a championship. He brought us a championship.
Here we go, man.
Watch. No, when whoever's starting at quarterback next year, you're going to see a huge difference from when Musa played, when whoever is
here
lining
we go.
Up. When lining
so,
up
so you got to think about it, bro. We're playing against high school level competition.
Oh, my Southern gosh. Stop, you can only play who's in front of you, bro. Like,
let's talk about some other champions in college basketball. UConn went back-to-back, winning 75-60 against Zach Edey that we've been all saying. He wasn't that guy, and he proved my point. But just thoughts on the game, fellas.
It showed what Purdue was all season. It was a one-man show, and with a good supporting cast. And when their supporting cast couldn't do nothing, they just wasn't as good as they should have been. First and foremost, Jeff, I know they've been saying we sound like haters all season.
And we proved our point.
Can we get our flowers? Can we get the elephant in the room and let people know that Zach Edey is really not that guy? Y'all got to stop letting these numbers fool y'all. Like, apparently NBA GMs are seeing it because they got him going in the second round.
Yeah, he went from lottery pick before the game started to, I looked at a Bleacher Report, he's like going mock 21st to the Orlando Magic.
Yeah. Like, that's
still first round. That's not second round.
But I'm just saying, no, that's what I saw, but there could be different ones that have mock second, but that's what I saw today.
So, reason why I say second round is because they got him going late first, early second. And I'm like, if that's the case, that means you a second round pick. And this is a person that was a double-double machine in college. But if you look at his game, right, he's 7'4". Yeah. And I'm not comparing him to Wimby. I'm not comparing him to Wimby at all. You see, Wimby actually has.
You're not doing that.
Bro, I never compared him to
Yes,
Wimby.
You did. You did last show. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
What did I say exactly?
You said something about.
You can't teach height.
You said you can't teach height like Wimby. And I said, don't put Wimby in this
equation. Yeah, but you can't teach height, but you could damn sure teach skill.
Right.
And so Zach Edey lacks skill. Okay, offensively and defensively.
Especially defensively. Oh my God.
No, like, defensively
this is his game. This is his game. And y'all tell me if I'm wrong. If he's playing against a smaller person, he's gonna do what? Drop step.
Mm-hmm.
If he's playing against a bigger person, what is he gonna do? Hook shot. He does nothing that amazes you. He stands under the paint. Like, bro, he plays like he's playing 2K. He just stands under the paint, roam around the paint.
Nah, 2K20, 2K15, I'll hold in my nuts.
Yeah.
Shot I go up, I'm grabbing the rebound. Not facts. Like, that was me.
Like, you look at him in a pick and roll game. Like, he sets the screen. You know when you playing 2K, you get mad at yourself for not rolling. Like, bro, roll. That's Zach Edey. He does not roll to the paint.
He stops
at the top of the key, asking for the ball. Like, hey, I'm right here.
Country, what did I say in the last podcast episode? I said they're going to put him in ball screens and he cannot defend it. What happened?
And that's what they did.
Three straight times in a row, possession I watched. Ball screen. Lob.
And then, bro, UConn plays. You know who actually played a good game plan on him that actually gave UConn a game plan?
Who?
NC State.
Why you say that?
NC State just could not score.
That's true.
That's the reason why NC State lost. They just could not score. Like, I felt as though like NC State could never score, but it was just that I think that the lucky charms ran out. I think that's what happened with them. And you seen the game, they was hitting threes that they was supposed to be hitting. They was just hot, but they eventually cooled off at the wrong time. And you seen like they just couldn't get the ball rolling. UConn used that same exact game plan. Let Zach Edey get his little garbage points because his points really don't affect the game like it's supposed to.
But I will
and
say,
then stop everybody.
He was neutralized second half. He was real quiet to start that second half.
Because the game was getting away from him. That's what you gotta look at it like this, right? Zach Edey in the first half, I believe, had 16 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had 19 points.
Something like that, yeah.
The rest of the team had 11. Then it got to the point in the game when Zach Edey had 27 and everybody only had 13. They were shooting 9-for-30.
Yeah, I'm looking at the box score right now and I'm like, I'm hearing what you're saying, but let's not act like he didn't score.
No. I'm not saying
no, but,
he did it.
But the end of the points, they were garbage points, to be honest. Like, the lead was already extended. Klingon had, what, four fouls left?
Yeah, and once they took Klingon out, it was just
like... It was like garbage points at that point, just score.
But what I'm saying about him was, it was more so like, they was just let... Like, they wasn't even double-teaming him. They was literally letting him do whatever he want.
They did double-team a tad. Like, they were, like, just...
They would show,
but they really wasn't double-teaming.
They would dig in and go right back
because,
out.
Because the thing is, they didn't want nobody else to score. They was like, he's going to...
If they were going to have anybody beat us,
it's going to be Zach Edey. Yeah. Like, and Zach Edey was doing the same thing. Drop step or hook shot. Nothing else. Like, that's what I'm saying, Mike.
Mike, come to the stand.
Come to the stand.
I'm here.
Come to stand, we have to say about the game overall.
Nah, y'all are right. You know, his game is very good.
Hold on, clap. We were right.
I never said he wasn't limited.
This is what you call maturity.
I never said.
Hey, listen, I believe it's Phi Beta Sigma. That's the only reason why he's doing that. Who is this guy? You have never heard Mike say it. You guys were right.
He'll never say it.
I just want to give a shout out to Phi Beta Sigma for getting this man right.
Bro, first of all, I never said that he didn't lack skill. I just said for what he's doing in college basketball, I mean, you got to give him his respect. Back-to-back National Player of the Year. Looking at the box score, he was the team yesterday. And obviously, like, they made 1-3. Obviously, Edie's not shooting no threes, but they made 1-3. They couldn't get nothing going from distance.
Yeah.
Edie was the only offense they had. So it's like, it was a pretty simple game plan that he couldn't guard ball screens. That was barbecue chicken for them. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
yep.
He's going to be a really good pro. You know, he had a good college career.
If you can't defend a ball screen in college, what makes you think he could defend a ball screen in the NBA?
And I'm not going to lie.
That's even worse.
You got to see how the way the NBA, you know how the NBA plays. Like, y'all got a prime example, Paolo. Sometimes y'all got Paolo running the five. So you know for a fact if Zach Edey's on the court, you already know what the NBA team's gonna do. They gonna run that five out and make him defend.
Five out, high ball screen.
He might go for 50, I ain't gonna lie.
Who?
Paolo?
I thought you were talking about Edey. Come on, Mike. We just gave you props and all that.
That's what I'm saying, man.
But it was a very disappointing game to watch, honestly, because it showed the lack of skill that Purdue really had all season. Like, that, it was really hard to watch. But, man, they put that belt on them boys. Like, once they got their lead, they did not look back. But I saw a crazy stat, right? Did UConn only, not UConn, did Purdue went, like, literally, like, 18 minutes to the game without making a single three?
Yeah.
Okay, so I wasn't tripping.
Jalen, what's your thought?
I had a few points. So, I hear what y'all were saying about Edey, and I agree with you. Just like Mike, I understood.
Hey, got another one.
I
admit when I'm wrong.
No, we know that, but we just say like we was haters at first, Jeff.
Yeah, because
I
was haters.
I agree with what Mike said. It's like you stuff like that, like with his height, you can't teach that. And now I'm not saying that that's a factor, of course, that's gonna make him like some generational talent, but it's the fact that he can score with his height. He was over half of the points that Purdue had in that championship game. Now, scouts can look at this, right, and understand what are his weaknesses, right? He can't defend the ball screens, mobility, and he can't, he has no, like, go-to moves. He has a hook shot. Exactly.
Yeah, his footwork isn't.
As a coach and a scout, I'm looking at that. Okay, he has the height. He has the determination to lead a team despite the adversity, and he can score. Those are three things that not every player has. Yeah. Sure, they have a deep bag. They can go between their legs and shoot a three. Cool. Who can consistently make a layup? Simple as that. After that, we can now develop these players to become who we want them on our team. They can easily be a second option in, what, 3 to 4 years, but he needs the right team to be drafted to. That doesn't make him...
Second option.
Second option. Okay, you know what the best second team... Option. You want to know what the best team will be for Zach Edey?
Yeah, who?
If he goes to a team like OKC...
The Heat. And that's what I'm saying. You can develop these players.
No, so you want to know why it would make that good for him to be that, so he can be the fourth or fifth option?
Right, because Zach Edey is your second option.
Just know your team is looking for a lottery pick.
That's
probably a top three pick. Like, we being honest, because he gets a majority of his points in the paint. You know what? Matter of fact, the best team for him to go to? The Warriors.
No.
Yes.
Why? Yes.
Because the Warriors space the floor out, and you could just let Zach Edey be in the pit. What they wanted to do with James Wiseman, they can do with Zach Edey.
He wouldn't get no playing time. He has to play behind Looney and Trayce Jackson-Davis. He's not getting no playing time.
I get that. But guess what? That's what they were trying to make Looney do. They wanted Looney to be that big man. You feel me? But it'd be teams that used to. Yeah, that was just a problem with Looney.
He's just too short.
Like, it's not that they don't want to do that. It's like Looney just undersized. He's an undersized center.
I hear you.
But
point.
To my second point was that.
My bad.
No, you're good. We all saw this coming. I mean, we said from the get-go it was going to be UConn and everybody else. But I think we had a similar issue with the women's championship too. We saw a team that had one signature player go off, and that's their team.
Yeah.
And then you have a team that is cohesive with their ball movement. They can make you switch. They can get up and down the floor. So I mean, it's teamwork versus one player, and obviously you see the result.
Now moving on to the other championship game, the women's side of the bracket, where South Carolina once again won another national championship, defeating Iowa 87-75. Fellas, thoughts on that game?
First and foremost, Iowa should have been out of the playoffs since the second round. No, let's be for real. The bad calls by these refs, especially towards the end of the game.
So let me ask you this. Was the UConn game, was that a bad call at the end?
That was a terrible call.
The screen call?
That was a terrible call. Because
her feet wasn't set.
I know.
I said the same thing on Twitter.
But listen,
her feet wasn't set.
I get that. But if you watch Iowa prior to that, how many illegal screens? Number 45 from Iowa, that girl has set. She set 3 illegal screens in the same breath where her feet was not even moving. But when UConn, it was a call that you could have made, but you could have let go at the same time. Or it's a no call because it didn't affect nothing at all.
Yeah.
But it was just like you called that for no reason, because it was like she wasn't even shooting the ball. She wasn't even open. It was a simple drive. And you called an offensive foul. The girl even stopped. Like she didn't even run into it. So it was like nobody even knew what the whistle was for. And then we just talk about it was just like first and foremost.
Wait, were you nervous when on the 10-0 run? Were you nervous?
Who?
When Iowa went on 10-0 run.
I was sweating. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Bro.
The same thing happened against LSU. I was like, damn, this is a really good game. And then they opened up 18-0. I was like, what are we watching?
They went a 7-0 run.
When that score was 10-0, I was like, ooh. I think I might have misspoke about Clayton Cox. She dropped 18 in the first quarter. I was like, ugh, this kind of over. But then the redemption story of them all happened when they put Raven Johnson, man, she's the real MVP. Like
she might have had 3 points, but hey, them 3 points does not describe how she played. Hey, look,
she had 3 points and 5 steals.
Bro, she took it personal.
And she made that girl shoot 1 for 7 from the field.
She was flustered.
Caleb Clark had 3 points on Raven Johnson. Raven Johnson was literally just plugging her for fun. And that's when Diana Taurasi said the best thing. She said, I don't know why y'all acting so surprised, because guess what? That's what teams in the WNBA is going to do to
her. Absolutely.
So she can't. If she gets flustered over that, she's not gonna make it.
That was like I saw somebody compared it to when Booker had that session in the gym. It was like you double teaming. And it's like
gym,
it's like that's of course what you're gonna expect. And I think that played to South Carolina's strength too, because Dawn Staley had an interview where she was like, oh yeah, of course our practice players are gonna get rings too. They practice against an entire men's squad. I don't know if you've seen that men's squad, but they hoop.
South Carolina got some. I don't know what Dawn Staley got in that water. 38,
no.
This is back to back years that they finished the season undefeated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Iowa took them out last year, but they came back on their revenge tour. And Rava Johnson, man, because she talked about it too. She talked about how she had a mental breakdown because it was like everybody was talking about her because, you know, Clayton Clark waved her off a couple of times during the game.
And
it was like,
and
she felt like she lacked her game. Like, she was like, she didn't know if she even wanted to play basketball anymore because it's like she had to ask herself, was like, was she good? So she went to Don, and Don gave her some motivation. She never thought that she would be back in this spot again to see that same person that literally embarrassed her on national TV.
But she took advantage,
man. And she took it personally. She took that girl one-on-one, picked her up from half court, and was strapped her. I was just sitting there, had tears in my eye, like, go ahead. Mike, nah, because I love Don Staley. You feel me? Like, I don't know how you can't.
Yeah, for sure.
I got a question.
Yeah.
It's kind of on topic, kind of off topic, but is Don Staley on her way to becoming, like, the greatest women's basketball coach?
I think she already is. Yeah. I think she already is.
It's hard to touch. I mean, you got Gino, you got
Pat Summitt, and then you got Don Staley. I mean, you got
Mulkey, if you want to throw Mulkey in there, but.
Kemp, I feel like Woman Ring will take Kemp off the
board. How many rings she got?
She got three. Mulkey got four. She got three with Bell. She won three with Bell, and she won one with LSU.
And then Donna got three, right?
Don has, I believe, three.
So if she gets one more, I think she'll enter in the top three.
And I think she's four, though. I think she's the first African-American woman with three rings.
No, she is.
Yeah, she is. And Gino Auriemma, Auriemma, like, he's actually, I feel as though he's the greatest college basketball coach of all time, men's and women's.
Okay.
Excuse me?
Yes, men's and women's.
Coach K?
Coach K, don't exist.
He doesn't exist.
I know he passed away.
Coach Cal?
No. We're going to get in that later.
Did he just say Coach Cal?
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. Because if we're just talking...
Let's talk about
it. Are we talking about strictly just championships? Because if we're talking about just developing talent, I think Cal is...
He's never developed talent.
Derrick Rose, John Wall, Devin Booker, Karl-Anthony Towns.
Bro,
you think if they went to Wisconsin, they'd be the same player?
Yes.
You think if they went to Wyoming, they'd be the same player?
Maybe. Why would they go to Wyoming?
I'm just saying.
Like, we talking about top-tier players. But since you want to throw that out there, so if he developed players so much, why was Devin Booker on the bench?
What you mean that was his role? Rob Dillingham didn't start a game. I think, he probably started a couple games, but Rob Dillingham came off the bench.
First and foremost, Coach Cal is not a good coach to me. I've been said this. We can go back all the way to the front. I've been said he's not a good coach.
Okay, so let me ask you this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since he made this move to go to Arkansas, do you think that was the right move for him?
I'm gonna tell you why it was the right move for him.
Yeah.
Because it took him out the Kentucky spotlight.
Yes.
Because that job in Kentucky is we all know what that means. You feel me? Like, yeah. they were running the SEC for decades. Like, you can even go back to the Florida when Florida was winning. It was either Florida, then it was Kentucky. Every time we talk about college basketball in the SEC, Kentucky's name always be brought up since Rupp days. So now you got to think about it. He got tired of that spotlight because he was not winning. And year in, year out, he has a top three recruiting class. Name me a year that John Calipari did not finish in the top three in recruiting. Oh, don't worry. It has not happened.
Why is that, though?
Because he's a good recruiter. I mean, just because you're a good recruiter don't mean you're a good coach.
I wonder how much
that's part of college coaching, though.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Bro, if that's the case, Les Miles should have been the greatest coach of all time because it was always Les Miles and Nick Saban were the recruits. Like, look at all the talent that LSU has produced out. We talking about Super Bowl winning players. We talking about NFL greats, but we only have one ring to show for it. And look at what Nick Saban's done. Recruiting. And guess what? He has six rings.
That's there's levels to coaching.
Oh, guess
that's
what? That's my point.
Right. I'm not caught. Okay, yeah, I was mildly joking when I said Coach Cal's the greatest coach of all time, but you're saying he's not a good coach at all.
No, he's not.
I think he's overrated.
That's why I was saying he's overrated. Yeah. I'm not gonna say he's a good coach. He's overrated.
Okay.
Because if that's the case, you could look at how many college coaches have surpassed John Calipari with less talent.
Dan Hurley,
the coach from Gonzaga. What's my man name?
Which one? From Baylor.
Nah, not from Baylor. Like, this is what you're talking about, a testament of good coach. UNC's old coach.
Roy Williams.
Roy Williams. Roy Williams and John Calipari.
Yeah.
We got two great recruiters.
I'm
but
thinking
one,
Roy.
Exactly, because one is a better coach light years away. Roy Williams did not like one and dones. And he still had a system that was better, that was produced for players to be in the college system and in the NBA. John Calipari just let them freshmen roll free. They freelance most of the games. Because there's no reason why you telling me you had the number one recruiting class in 2020 and y'all didn't even finish over 500.
Cause you can see Cal has a different philosophy with his coaching style. He wants to get these kids to the NBA. That's his goal as a coach.
No, because if that's the case, Isaiah Briscoe would have been the greatest point guard of all time. Isaiah Briscoe in 2015 was the number one player.
He came
to Kentucky under Cal's system and did not do nothing. John Calipari could talk all he want, this, that, and the third. He did not want Jamal Murray.
Spin facts. He's spinning facts right now.
I mean, I think Cal's a good coach. That shouldn't be.
So then who take, if you had to put somebody in that position, who you think is going to take that position?
Like, who I want or who I think?
Both. Who you want and who you think?
Who I want? I mean,
because the nominees is Dan Hurley, which
I seen.
No. He could say no all he want, but until somebody else sign that paperwork, I'm still believing in Dan Hurley.
No, the wife said she's not moving.
Hey,
you know what they say? Happy life, happy wife, man.
Hey, that don't mean nothing. So she could be. So guess what? If that job in Kentucky calling, hey, if I'm him, I'm answering that because numbers matching up.
Hey,
they also said Donovan could take the position.
I'm telling you like this.
I want Nate Oates.
I'm telling you like this.
Nate Oates already came out and said he's not moving.
I'm telling you like this.
Yeah, he already came
Billy out. If Billy Donovan take that coaching job at Kentucky, just know it's over for college basketball. When I tell you that is one of the greatest coaches of all time.
He is, but this is a new era, though. This is a little bit different. Like, there was no such thing as NIL and playing a factor in these kids.
But they
won this money.
But he just came from the NBA, so he understands how the money works now.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you go into the NIL, and so you can actually explain to these kids how this money works. While you was in Florida in Gainesville, you was the last coach to win back to back.
Yeah.
So question. Talk
to him.
What happens with all these recruits? You know, they got Jordan Quintates.
I mean,
Boogie Carter Flong. Knox already decommitted.
Travis Perry.
I don't really know much about him.
Travis Perry, he's a bucket.
Boogie,
he's a shooter.
Boogie, I believe he decommitted as well.
Already?
Or is about to. Either one or two.
You think anybody's gonna follow him to Arkansas?
I mean, Aaron Brash already did by getting that transfer. I think he's gonna follow him. I don't know.
But I would say Kentucky's in a very tough spot, depending on who they hire. And also, too, you gotta think about it like this:
they should have had somebody in plan.
I don't think that they had an idea that was gonna happen, because Calipari did do them dirty.
But you still always gotta have somebody prepared. Like, I would compare it to the Duke situation, just in the sense like we knew Coach K was finna be up out of here.
That's not the same thing.
But I'm saying they had somebody in mind. They was prepping him the whole time while he was coaching.
What about
they knew he was gonna be the head coach of Duke in 5 years. They already knew that.
What about Tyler Ulis
as a head coach?
Is that a possibility?
I don't think so. I think Tyler's way too young for him to be a head coach this early in the game. Tyler Ulis is what, only like 28 years old?
What if they was prepping him and you know his time might just come sooner? That might be a name. They might want to keep it in house.
I can't disagree with you on that, but I don't know if Kentucky can want to keep it in house though. I think they will want a big splash, just because they just lost a big splash in the coaching. Because regardless of what you want to say, coach, like I could say Coach Cal is overrated as much as I want, but you cannot. But that is a very much name brand. That's like you saying, oh, imagine if Gino Auriemma comes to the men's game and decides to coach Kentucky.
Oh my God!
Just think about the name that's gonna bring in itself.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I'm saying about Coach Cal.
Yeah.
But nah, I'm not gonna lie. It's gonna be a good one though.
Kentucky's gonna have some down years, I think. I think they'll have, depending on who they hire, it might have some rough years.
But this one I'm saying though, right? Coach Cal has not made it past the first weekend of college basketball since 2018.
So how high?
No,
but
I'm thinking they're not gonna, like, depending on who they hire. When I say rough years, I'm thinking they're going to miss the tournament completely.
This year?
It depends on who they hire.
Hey, we can see, but what you say? You say high as the expectations for what?
If they haven't made it past the first round or to the first round in the last, or sorry, just past the first round in the last few years, how high are the expectations for Kentucky knowing that they're going to have a new coach?
So the expectation for Kentucky is very, very much high, because it was high to the standpoint is like you had the best recruiting class in history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we talking about in college basketball history. I think they said this was the best recruiting class since the days of the Fab Five.
Right.
Like, that's how good that recruiting class that came in last year. And then just to get bounced in the second round. Not even the second round, in the first round.
Oakland and what was the other one?
St. Peter's. But they have not made it past the first weekend of March Madness since 2018.
So that's what I'm like.
They went one and four at that whole time span. Mm-hmm.
But was the pressure placed on Coach Cal or Kentucky as a program?
It was placed on Coach Cal, because it's like you're bringing in talent after talent after talent, and we're seeing the players that's matriculating into the NBA. Like, and it's like, bro, why do we only have one ring?
That's true. Now move on to NFL, fellas. NFL trades are still going on, and the biggest name, four-time Pro Bowler Stephon Diggs for the Buffalo Bills, is now on the way to the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. For a second round pick and multiple other picks as well, given towards to the Buffalo Bills. Now, fellas.
They traded him for a bag of chips.
That's true, but what are you guys' thoughts on the trade?
I love the trade. I'm not going to lie. I love the trade.
It makes the Texans look more exciting. I mean, they were already exciting going into the season.
CJ, Joe Mixon,
like,
Stephon, Nico, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz.
I just wonder how he's going to blend with the other receivers.
I feel like he'd be like the short guy, the guy that runs the short roster.
That's what I'm saying.
You got Nico run the medium.
Yeah.
Tank take the top off.
Tank, yeah. I think that's going to go.
Man. It must be nice to be a Texas fan.
Because that's the best team in Texas.
It probably is. Right?
No, there's no probably. There's no probably.
Oh, my gosh.
it's just sad to look, dude. My team said we was all in, and I'm just watching.
Y'all didn't even give Derrick Henry a contract.
Y'all, yeah.
We didn't even get Saquon a contract.
Did y'all call him?
No, they didn't even call Derrick. That was the crazy part.
Derrick Henry said he was waiting for the Cowboys to call
him. You gotta get Jones up out of there, dog.
Man, I already made my bed with it, bro. The Cowboys ain't winning nothing until Jerry Jones died. I'm so sorry. How is he going to leave?
that's a good point. Yeah, hey, yeah. I can't even lie. That's good.
Unless he chooses to step by himself, which I doubt.
Bro, he still wants his hand in a team, bro. Like, bro, at this point, just coach the team.
He is the team.
Like, just coach it. Because it's like, let's be for real, right? I know we're supposed to be talking about the Texans, but it's just real quick, right? If you the Cowboys, the smartest thing to do is extend Dak Prescott. Take that $60 million off of dead cap money, take it off, extend Dak, sign Michael Parsons. The money is not going to kick in until 3 years later.
Yeah.
Don't sign CeeDee Lamb, because I don't know why you're waiting for the Minnesota Vikings to sign Justin Jefferson. Just sign CeeDee, because now it's like, I realize what my team is, right? And it's okay. We love to win the headlines. Jerry Jones loved milking all the headlines. Like, oh, we're gonna go all in. Just do what? Nothing.
Lose.
Then on top of that, you know you're gonna sign Micah, but guess what? You wanna make a big splash when nothing else is being talked about, just to do what? Nothing. As long as we win the headlines, bro, I think that's all Jerry Jones care about. He don't care about the Super Bowl, bro.
That's hilarious.
Because it's like you have the place to make the moves that could have changed our franchise for good. Like you could have signed Dak to his extension. Whatever you may, however you may feel about him, but it's like, what better option do you have out there for quarterback? So take your losses with your take your wins with your losses and call it a day, so you can get that out the way and move on. But it's like, if you don't want Dak, let him go. If you want him, extend him. All this, you know, we gotta see it play out. Cause I'm not gonna lie to you. Y'all could say what y'all wanna say, but tell me this if this ain't true. I know you probably gonna say it's not gonna happen, but we playing devil's advocate right now. Let's say Dak Prescott wins the MVP, takes us to the conference championship game. Let's say we lose the conference championship game. We win the division. Dak Prescott has numbers like he throws 4,800 yards, another 36, 40 touchdown plus season, less than 10 interceptions. How much money do you think Dak Prescott is asked for?
Oh my gosh.
At least probably 60 mil.
No, he's not asking 70. For 60. He's asking for $80 million.
Yeah.
Because right now he's making, because the highest rated quarterback is making $60 million right now.
Who? It's Lamar?
Justin Herbert. But yeah, he's the highest paid quarterback right now. So you're wasting your time, because if he has another season like he just had this year and wins the MVP on top of that, I'm sorry, bro. We're broke, because we can't sign Micah, and we're not going to be able to sign CD, and we're not going to be able to sign Deron Bland, because all them contracts come the same exact year. So why are you playing games?
That's true.
Y'all boys going to be screwed.
And that's why I say the Texans GM, he's playing it smart, because why? Let's get the pieces around CJ Stroud before we have to pay CJ Stroud that bag.
So question, what's the likelihood? Because how many years he got left? Two, 3 years?
Who, C.J. Stroud?
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud got 4 more years left.
4 more years. Yeah.
So, yeah, how many, like, out of those 4 years, like, what's the odds they win a Super Bowl? Just give me, throw a percentage out there.
I say the odds are very high for them.
I say right now.
This next season.
They got like a 50, 60%.
This next season is going to be
I say go up a little bit more.
50, 60%.
Like they in the 70s right now in my books. Because it's.
Well, so what's the other 30%?
Let me ask you this. Other than that.
What's the name?
Kansas City?
Yeah, that man that up there in Kansas City, Pat Mahomes.
Let me ask you this then. What would you rank?
And also, too, Lamar.
What would you rank the Texans right now in AFC?
Third.
Okay, give me a top five.
Top five? I can give you a top three.
Okay. I give you top five.
Either or, just come on.
So my top number one is going to be
Kansas City.
Number two, Baltimore. And number three, Houston.
Mike, top five, top three, doesn't matter.
Top five. Yeah. I got you. KC, Houston. I'm going to go with Baltimore. I'm going to go with Buffalo's not there no more.
Yeah, they're done.
I'm going to throw the Jets in there. If Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, I'm going to throw the Jets in there.
I like that.
I forgot about the Jets.
You know, sleeper team too?
The Browns.
Ooh. The Browns. Yeah.
That's my 15.
The Browns. I was going to throw the Browns in my top five.
I'm sorry. I can't put Deshaun Watson.
I know. Deshaun Watson.
This is make or break.
Over Joe?
Yes.
Over Joe?
Yeah. I got to see what they do. You know.
I'm sorry.
With the.
I can't, Deshaun.
I got to see what they. And I'm also a big Steelers guy. I'm high on the Steelers. I think that
move that they got Justin Fields in Pittsburgh, I think it's actually going to work out.
I'm a big Steelers guy. That fifth team is going to be, it's a team from the AFC, what, North?
I got the Hunts out AFC North in my top 10.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it's one of them three teams that's taking that fifth spot.
And Tennessee made some good moves, too.
They're not even sniffing.
If the Harbaugh move is good, the Chargers could be the fifth team, but I just, you know, got to see it first.
Justin Herbert's still overrated in my book.
I think he is, too.
Oh, my gosh.
He is.
I'm going to go.
How?
What you mean?
Come on, Jalen.
I'm going to go KC. I'm gonna go Houston.
Yes.
I'm gonna go Baltimore.
Yes.
I'm gonna go.
Come on, I gotta hear Bengals. Come on, Bengals Jets. That would be perfect.
I'll go with the Bengals.
Oh my gosh.
And then I'm gonna go Chargers.
Oh my gosh.
I was thinking more Jets.
Where
you know,
the Jets?
They got Mike Williams. They could get Brock Bowers in the draft.
It looks good on paper. I'm gonna tell you like this. They should draft Brock Bowers, but I think they're gonna go with another receiver. I think they're gonna take Malik Neighbors.
I think so.
Like, so where would Bowers fall to?
I think Bowers falling all the way to 10.
The Jets are 10, right?
The Jets are 10.
They are 10. Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They can easily get Brock Bowers right there.
They could. If all the receivers is gone, if them top three receivers is gone, then I think they would go Brock.
But speaking of the draft, 2 weeks away, fellas, who's the most ready NFL quarterback right now?
None of them.
CDs right now.
What?
The only person that I can say is NFL ready is Jaden Daniels.
LSU homer. Oh my gosh.
It could be, but
bro, no, it is. There is no could.
He cannot use his greatest strength that he had in college in the NFL. He's going to get mollywopped by most of them.
Caleb Williams not ready?
No.
What?
Caleb Williams still immature. Do you know Caleb Williams don't talk to none of his coaching staff?
He talks to Lincoln.
That's literally the only person he talked to.
Who else he need to talk to?
His quarterback coach.
That's the head man.
His offensive coordinator. He was a cancer in the locker room.
Where you getting this from? Exactly.
Adam.
You don't know. Mike, go. You don't know.
You said who's the most NFL ready?
Who's the most NFL ready quarterback? Back in this draft right now.
I mean, I like what Country's saying because I'm a big Jaden Daniels guy, but I'm gonna say JJ McCarthy. I think, you know.
So you one of those that believe in the hype of JJ McCarthy?
I believe he's
had a lot of hype saying he'd go number two.
Right, but I'm just saying JJ McCarthy, he's not gonna lose me a game. He's gonna come in and do his job early on, and if he develops into something special, I think he can. So
okay, no, I'm just asking if you believe in the hype.
I think he's gonna be a really good NFL quarterback.
Okay. Because you know what they say about him. He's just a handoff quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're blowing teams,
that's what they say about him.
If you're blowing teams out, you're going to hand the ball off.
But they wasn't blowing teams out. They were literally handing the ball off the entire game.
And you had two NFL running backs.
This made J.J. McCarthy, when he threw an interception, first possession against Alabama, he came back, shook it off. Touchdown drive.
And then look at what he did last year against TCU. I think he had like 4 touchdowns or something like that. Yeah, half his team was injured. So
you talking about that TCU team that allowed JoJo to score 65 points? That TCU defense. I'm just making sure we talking about the same.
Starting running back was out. You know, you watch more college football than me.
Hey,
that team was depleted.
I think I watch a lot of college football more than a lot of people. But I know what I'm saying, man. I don't trust JJ McCarthy. Like, it's two people
coming
in this draft.
LSU homer.
But I said Jaden Daniels. He's probably.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to tell y'all my top five quarterbacks in any draft, because since nobody want to talk about it, number one, Caleb Williams. Number two, Jaden Daniels, number three.
So wait, time out. How do you have Caleb Williams?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Cause
number one, and then the versus saying, oh, he's not ready, he's immature. Come on, man.
All right, okay.
Make it make sense.
Let me be for real.
Make it make
sense. Number one, Michael Penix Jr. What? Number two.
I'm finna cut his mic off. Why?
We're being inconsistent.
Oh,
wait.
What did I say wrong? What's wrong with Michael Penix Jr.?
First, you just said Caleb Williams.
Nah, I know.
Then you said, all right, let me be serious.
I'm hearing you, but it was the way you like.
And then you said, Jaden Daniels is the most NFL ready, but you didn't put him that one.
You're confusing me.
We need the top one. Give me the one.
The number one quarterback,
Caleb Williams.
Okay. All right. Who's number two?
Number two, Jaden Daniels. Number three.
Cool.
Michael Penix Jr.
Okay, see, there's a consistency going here. We went through three of them in the top spot.
Now, who four?
Four is when it falls off, you feel me? I gotta go with Bo Nix.
Okay.
I think he's heavily underrated.
Number five, yeah, he's very underrated. I don't know why he's not getting talked about, but number five, I got my boy from North Carolina.
Okay.
Drake May. Number six, JJ McCarthy.
Okay,
so who do you think is most ready, Jalen?
My opinion, I'm gonna go Caleb Williams. Just because I think not only his ability on the field, but he has an ear for the business. Yeah, he has like the whole, oh, he's a cancer, but like he knows what he wants out of. He knows what he wants out of his professional career.
Yeah.
And he knows he has the talent to back it up. So there's no problem with him now. If he does go out, if it's true what they're saying, he's like, oh, I want this person to make this trade if they're going to draft me. That's a little much. But I feel like there's no harm in having like a professional sense of what you want and the team around you. So I'm going to go Caleb Williams. I'm not big on the Jaden Daniels train as like second overall. So I'm going to go.
Why is that? Because of his frame?
Yes.
Because he's from LSU.
He's going to get. I have no problem with that.
I think his downfall is his frame.
But people said the same thing about Lamar Jackson, though.
They definitely said
you got to be real.
But I feel like the league has been so exposed to quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson. It's not going to work for Jaden Daniels all the time.
Why?
Lamar's a little more built than Jaden.
But not only that, you have teams now that are scheming against teams like that have a quarterback.
But you also got to understand, Jaden Daniels' biggest strength is not just his legs; it's really his arm.
It isn't, but that it's markability. What have they marketed him as?
The reason why Jaden Daniels had to run a lot is when teams decided not to bring pressure on him and decided they wanted to go eight deep in coverage.
Eight in coverage, yeah.
So it's like, okay, if nothing's open, then he takes off. But if Jaden Daniels was picking teams apart.
For sure.
You play zone against Jaden Daniels, it's over for you.
What are they marketing him as, though? What are the comparisons they see him as in the draft?
Lamar Jackson. Yeah, dual threat.
So I had Caleb Williams. I'm going to go handoff J.J. McCarthy.
All right, come on.
Bro,
don't say that. Just say J.J. McCarthy. Like, don't make it sound like he's trash.
You're the one that brought up the handoff comment.
No, I'm just saying that's what they say about him. Well, I like J.J.
That's the reason I brought
like
it up. That's why I have him as my second.
I like
So
JJ.
I'm going to go Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy. I'm going to go Jaden Daniels, and I'm going to go Bo Nix.
So the Drake May slander is very real in this room.
It's not that.
I don't think there's a lot of slander. I think he's what you look for in a quarterback.
I've seen lots of saying Drake May could lose your job if you draft him. I've seen some crazy stuff like that.
I mean, we look at people like Mitch Trubisky.
Same. Hey,
from the same place too.
I mean, same place.
Same number.
The Bears ain't never looked the same since then.
That's true. I don't think he's the same as Mitchell Trubisky.
I've just been hearing too many mixed opinions on Drake May. Like some people think he's Josh Allen as some people have been saying Mitch Trubisky.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I mean, he's shown all season that he's very inconsistent. Like
I hear the big arm stuff. I mean, yeah, that's cool.
But he's capable of being a quarterback. We don't need him to be a franchise athlete. We don't need him to be a person that's carrying the ball all the time. We don't need him to throw 100-yard bombs consistently. We need you to be a quarterback.
Exactly. So how many times is three teams throwing 70-yard bombs in a game? Like, let's be for real. Like, yeah, arm strength means something, but it means something, what, when you throwing a Hail Mary? Like, you're not really throwing the ball, like, down the field every single play. Like, if that's the case.
Well, when you got a receiving core like Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs, you're going to want somebody that can air out the ball all the time.
Yeah, but he's not going to be drafted to a team.
And that's my point. They're drafting him as a quarterback, not as a playmaker.
So look at where he – chill out.
What do you say?
I say he's going to get drafted to a team like at Curtis Samuel.
Look at the team that he's getting drafted to. We know number one, the Bears are going with Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
It's more like Commanders or Patriots.
Oh, my goodness. Don't let him go to the Patriots.
Oh, geez.
He's going to be terrible.
But imagine this. If he goes to the Vikings, they trade up.
I think JJ's going to the Vikings.
But I'm just saying, imagine if he goes to the Vikings, though. I think that would be dangerous.
Drake May?
Yes, he'd be very dangerous.
I think that's probably his best.
Yeah.
That's his best bet.
Because if he goes to the Broncos, I think he's going to fail.
To who?
The Broncos.
Broncos?
If he falls.
Is that what he's.
But I'm saying, if he falls, like people have him falling.
I don't think he's going to fall that far.
You talking about Drake May?
Yes.
He's not falling that far.
No.
But because it's too many quarterback needy teams.
Yeah.
So he's either it's either going to be 2 and 3 is going to be him and Daniels. Yeah, it's going to be him and Jaden Daniels. So
yeah, but that was my 3.
I don't know. I think Daniels has, you know, a little extra juice to him to, you know, be able to do more with less than Drake May. So yeah.
And it seems like the Patriots or the Commanders is where Jaden Daniels will be perfectly fit. But
for sure,
do I think that the Commanders are going to take Jaden Daniels?
No.
I think so.
They're not.
I think they're gonna take.
They're gonna take Drake May.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
I think RG3 made them.
Yeah, the RG3 experience is not going.
And do y'all know that the Commanders are trying to go back to the Redskins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. Draft's in 2 weeks, so we'll see how that shakes up. Now let's talk about some NBA, fellas.
Ooh-wee.
Playoff time is right around the corner. But let's talk about a team in the East that has not panned out like everybody thought they would have panned out. 4-game losing streak right now, the Milwaukee Bucks.
I say he's a terrible coach, but nobody wants to listen. Hey, listen, I've been saying this
Hold on. If they keep the 2 seed, they run to potentially either the 76ers or the Heat. Do you think they could be put out in the first round?
Yes.
And why?
The Heat. Bro.
Jalen's so serious right now.
One, if they play the 76ers, I think they got a better chance.
They do. Absolutely.
You feel me? But if they play against the Heat, no. I'm sorry. Playoff Jimmy?
As inconsistent as we've been the last, like, 2-3 weeks, I don't know how the freak we dropped the game to the Pacers, man. But, I mean, it's not the Pacers.
We dropped one to the Pacers.
But come on, bro. That's a must-win game. As inconsistent as we have been, there's that switch that flips when we get to the playoffs. Everybody knows that. But I'm not even just going off the strength of that. The Bucks haven't looked great on any level. Their defense hasn't looked great.
Since they got Doc Rivers as coach, they are a combined.
That's the common denominator.
Bro, in a 32 game stretch, they are 15-17.
Yeah.
They were the number one seed. Yeah. They were the number one seed before Doc Rivers came. And since Doc Rivers has been there, they have not been over 500. Now they're on a 4-game losing streak.
And they have drama at that. Doc Rivers saying they're not professional on the road.
That's what I'm saying. On every
and they have no identity. This is like the worst time of the year to have no identity going into the playoffs. This is the worst time.
But before Doc, they had identity.
For sure.
And they actually looked at very much dominant. Now it's like, what's going on? I always say, like I say every time, he's not a good coach, but nobody wanna listen to me. Everybody like, bro, he's not a good coach. And it's shown.
I'm just looking at this on ESPN. The Bucks and the Sixers played 3 games, and the Bucks won all 3 of them. So, I mean, we know the Bucks. I mean, Six is their most favorable matchup. But the Heat, I mean, they're only 4 games back of the Milwaukee Bucks. So it's like, it's not really a gap between the teams. And, you know, Jimmy's been hurt, you know, in and out of the lineup. So
we're just not getting Hero back. We're just now getting a healthy squad.
Yeah, so it's like,
if we can get everybody healthy by the playoffs.
That's the thing. The Heat always get healthy around the playoffs.
If I'm the Bucks, man, I'd start my coaching search now. I'm not going to lie. Because Doc Rivers,
would you be surprised if they get bounced on the first round?
Giannis
says, I want to get out of here.
No, 100%. He's probably going to ask for a trade.
That would be
the Magic are going to beat whoever we play in the second round, because we're projected to play the Bucks right now. We up, Kiwi.
So we looking at Tanasis leaving Milwaukee.
Bro, stop.
He won't have another job. Man. His brother's the reason why he has a job.
Breaking news. It's a trade package. Milwaukee Bucks.
Hey, you got to take him, bro.
Y'all, man, y'all are not serious. Another team in the East, though, without another star, Julius Randle out for the season. How far the Knicks go?
They're going to go very far. Julius Randle is actually the problem.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that answer. Okay.
Why? Like, Julius Randle has been a cancer to their team.
I don't think it affects them.
They're going to still lose in the second. Like, if everything stays the same, they'll play the Celtics in the second round, and they'll probably lose. Even though I think Brunson will be the best. He's not the best player in that series, but I think he'll play the best in that series.
That'll be a very entertaining 6 or 7 game series, in my opinion.
I think it'll go seven.
It has the potential to go 7, though.
Because Brunson's a
game changer, and I think people put that type of responsibility on Julius Randle to be that second option, but like what did he produce that much this season that affected the Knicks playing style?
And I think if the Knicks can take the Celtics to 7 games without Randle, which I think they will, I think the Knicks will look to move Randle for another star.
Yeah.
Okay.
But who's going to be willing to trade their star for Julius Randle?
Probably be like a disgruntled star. Like, you don't think the Bucks would be like, yeah, we'll take Randle instead of taking some picks? They'll probably want to stay competitive. It just depends on the team.
So just imagine
if Paul George wants to do a sign and trade to go to New York,
because this Paul George is on expiring deal.
Exactly.
Paul George is nearing the end of his, like,
that's true.
I'm cooking right now.
Man, and I
here we go. Now you wasn't cooking before.
Or time out. Let's say the Suns get put out in the first round. You don't think KD gonna be like, all right, I want to trade? Or
man,
Book?
Man, I'm tired of KD, but like,
you don't think Book will ask for a trade? Because obviously he's probably the most tradable guy. Well,
Book not leaving Phoenix. Yeah, I couldn't imagine that.
All I'm saying is every team KD has left since he got to the Warriors has not been panning out like they supposed to.
That's true.
So. I'm starting to see a common factor since everybody want to blame Russell Westbrook
or Karl-Anthony Towns because, you know, Naz Reid's playing really well in the starting center. So Cat might, you know, be out of there. He's trade for Randall. Who knows? I think New York's going to be in a good spot.
Speaking of the West, I'm looking at this playoff picture bracket right now. The Clippers play the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. If this stays the same, who are y'all taking in the second game series?
The Mavs.
And how many games?
As what stuff look like right now, I'm probably taking them in six.
I got the Mavs in seven.
But Kawhi does, he rises his game in the playoffs. I'll give him that.
That's the only reason
I don't know. I like the Mavs in six just because Kyrie is back in the position when he was with LeBron.
Hooping. Oh,
he's
my gosh.
Back in that same position. Like, not really much pressure on him. When it's time to perform,
he performs. Kyrie is hooping right now.
And they got P.J. Washington, Daniel Gafford. Derek Lively is injured, but when he's playing, he's a good big
man. Jeff, we did say that P.J. Washington move was actually very big for the Mavs. And it has panned out. Him leaving...
Hey, Coach, I think we just got the same.
I said that too.
We've been clicking.
We can go back on the episode. I said that was a good move. That's what I'm saying.
We all were like, he talking about me and Jeff. Some of the best programs. Yeah, we've been.
Because when we asked on the trade deadline, what was the biggest move in the trade deadline? Me and Jeff said the Mavericks getting.
I think we all did.
I'm pretty sure I wrote that down too.
That's what I'm saying.
That is trying to steal credit.
Oh, come on. We can go back and watch the film, man.
Trying to steal credit, man. But this concludes halftime with the Playmakers. Now we're getting to my favorite part, the shout outs. I want to first and foremost thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for what he's done for me as a whole, for my family. I want to shout out my friends, shout out to guys in the studio. Another great episode. Let's keep being consistent, fellas.
You know, got to thank the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, we wouldn't be able to do what we do every day. Got to thank the guys. Got to thank family because, you know, they're the motivation. And also, you got to, you know, obviously give thanks to the Orlando Magic. You know, I'm not stressed anymore this time of year thinking about who we're going to draft. I think it's a new era in basketball.
Yes, it's time.
We're, you know, very excited. I'll see y'all in June. Like I said, we're going to keep saying it till the end of the year, you know. And then when we come back next year, oh my goodness, I'm going to go nuts because, oh my, don't let it happen. I'm not even going to say the words, but don't let it happen. You go ahead, Country.
But I just want to thank God. I just want to thank everybody. And today is the last day of Ramadan, so I just want to thank myself for even being in a position to even complete 30 days of Ramadan, 30 days of fasting. So got closer to God over the time, so I just want to keep giving thanks to him for putting me in these positions. And I want to thank the guys in the studio for just giving me the opportunity to be me, you hear me? And that's your boy coming straight from the 225. And also, we got two more weeks. Jeff has to make a decision.
I was just thinking about that. I was thinking about that before the show started.
Bro, he should have been made a decision.
Yeah. He said we gave him
college team will be dropping last episode, PSA.
I want to thank God, man. I want to thank my family. Thank the guys in the studio. Shout out D'Ant, man. You know, his
shout out my brother D'Ant.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully he'll be on the pod here soon so he can, you know, speak more to that great achievement of the show.
Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.